Back to Iowa's only local sports show over your lunch hour.
Yeah, baby!
Here's Ken and Trent.
Show 1700 KBGG. Trent Connor and myself with you until 2 o'clock. Coming up this hour, Rob Doster, NBCSports.com, college basketball talk. Rob will join us for more college basketball conversation. Then Matthew Rudy. Matt Rudy, senior writer, Golf Digest. We will talk about Tiger's round from yesterday in the final round of something called the Valspar Championship that, like most of you, I was watching and watched for the very first time yesterday.
It's paint. That's what Valspar is.
Is it Valspar paint? I didn't know that.
And I didn't realize it until one of the commercials that was playing. I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen that before in Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever. I'm like, okay. But it never had connected in the week or two that we've kind of been, oh, Tiger will be playing at the Valspar. What's the Valspar?
Yeah.
Now we know.
Now we do. And I wouldn't have, Trent. I learned something from you. Drake, they're pouring into the Knapp Center. By the sounds of things, the lower bowl or the bottom, is that what they call it? Is not a bowl.
No. The lower section.
The lower section. Better. And you've got it up on your computer,
yep.
CBS Sports Net. So I should be able to get that on mine then, too, right? Because
yes.
I'm a DirecTV subscriber,
absolutely.
So why can't I get it?
Yeah.
Do you need a passcode or password?
Well, whatever your DirecTV password is.
I never set it up.
Well, then you got problems.
So probably that's the reason I can't get it.
Right.
All right.
I could take you to one of those illegal websites. You could stream it there. Maybe that'd help your computer.
I go to enough of those on my own. Actually, they're not illegal.
They're not illegal.
No, they just clutter up.
Anyways,
let's get out of this.
Yeah, okay.
And let's talk about, you know what, a football segment.
Okay.
Just real quick. When the quarterback roulette wheel stops turning, Trent, mm-hmm. as it will at some point this week, let's go on record as who's going where. And I guess, it's Kirk Cousins,
mm-hmm.
and it's Case Keenum, and who's the, I mean, Drew Brees is technically a free agent, I think, as of right now.
For these 48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, if New Orleans was going to sign him, they had to do so by, I think, 1 o'clock today.
Oh, okay.
Therefore, he's now allowed to talk to teams, the other 31. Hmm. So he would be up, he would be in that list. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater, Sam Bradford.
Right.
It's hard to predict where those guys end.
Because it's such a trickle-down effect.
Right. Once Cousins goes, then Keenum goes. Don't you think Drew Brees is in New Orleans?
Yes.
I do, too.
Yeah. I can't envision that scenario.
I would like to see him end his career there. Of course, he didn't start there. I get
mm-hmm.
that. But it'd be nice to see him end there.
A couple pretty good places to live. San Diego to...
Yeah, really.
To New Orleans.
Really. And how about the choice that they had to make, right? Well, it's kind of like what the Green Bay had to make. Brett Favre, move him along, nudge him into retirement, although he didn't go, as we know. Or Aaron Rodgers, Philip Rivers, or Drew Brees.
Yeah, not
Drew
bad.
Brees goes to Miami. He gets turned down from Miami. Said there's something wrong with that shoulder. New Orleans
we'll
says,
take
well,
Dante Culpepper instead.
Yeah, nice move.
Whoops.
Yeah, whoops. And look what Brees has done. Delivered him a Super Bowl and has had great playoff runs a number of times. Okay, so Cousins goes where, Trent?
Minnesota.
Tea leaves are pointing that way, aren't they?
I've been on this for months now.
Mm-hmm.
Do it. Do it. 3 years, $78 million. I don't know, 26 a year. Good?
Is he leaving money on the table at 26?
Maybe.
I think it's 3 years. I think he's. I agree with you. I think he's going to Minnesota, which
does
makes
it take
the most sense.
85?
I would say closer
more,
to that.
More than that,
I would
rate?
Say closer to that. I think it's north of $27 million a year.
Okay.
I do. I think it's north. All right, so that means the three Vikings quarterbacks that they had on the roster, all of them are able to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Do they keep one of those three?
I don't believe so.
So all three of them are wearing a different jersey next year, assuming they're playing. And of the three, the most likely not to play would be Sam Bradford because of the knee?
Yeah. I think because of what they're going to have to pay to get Cousins, that financially
doesn't
make sense.
They got to go cheap on the backup.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's a scenario that's going to go in.
Uh-huh.
All three are looking for new homes.
So Kyle Sloter, who was the third string, he's probably back there because he's a minimum salary guy.
Yep.
And then they find, A Matt Cassel who just got cut? Sure. Somebody that you'd have to break the bank for?
A Sanchez, a guy like
that. Like a Mark Sanchez, yeah. Right. Yeah, that makes
your
sense.
Your $4-6 million backup veteran. If something disastrous happens, you at least have that. I think that's the way it goes. Though it sounds like Chicago, if he's willing to be a number three, would like to have him back as their number three.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Bears also interested, just saw on Twitter, Jimmy Graham.
Really?
They're sniffing around there.
So he's free in Seattle.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah.
You know, Trent, that division, I honestly feel Green Bay's windows, if it's not closed, it's almost, I mean, you can just feel the draft.
But Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but he's got to have some guys, Trent. And that offensive line.
He hasn't had
line,
a ton, though.
Yeah, but look, I mean, the no
so
running
good.
Game, that defense is god-awful.
Yeah.
I think Minnesota is head and shoulders in
that
division.
Oh, I agree. I agree there. But if they just get in.
That's all you want, right? And get one of those 12 spots.
And Aaron Rodgers.
And Aaron Rodgers.
But I agree. It's certainly closing, and there's.
Well, and my point was going to be, as a Bears fan, you have to look like the direction of this team.
Yeah. And
if they do, if they are serious
about. Patricia in
Detroit
certainly doesn't scare me.
I'm anxious to see how that plays out.
I'm going to guess not well.
Well, we've seen Belichick assistants go before, right? And it hasn't worked out well. Okay, so.
Trickle down next. No. Your Broncos.
I think they're going to go for Keenum, and I'm pissed off at that.
That doesn't make you happy.
It doesn't make me happy.
You'd rather have Bradford.
I would, well, on a one-year deal and then draft one of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's on the roster that I still think's got a chance to play?
Brock Osweiler.
No. No, I know he doesn't have a chance to play. He's not the guy. Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly's kid, or his cousin, his nephew.
From Ole Miss?
From Ole Miss, who was hurt, had a really good arm, had his ups and downs in college. I guess he was kind of a head case.
Yeah.
He was the final pick. He was Mr. Irrelevant in last year's draft.
Okay.
And they took him because they knew he wasn't going to play a down.
Mm-hmm.
He was hurt. He was going to miss the entire year. I'm anxious to see what they got in him. But if John Elway says, you know, Ken, you're been a loyal fan. I need some help here.
Come on. I can't talk to anybody in Denver because it'll get out.
What are we going to do? Because I could see him saying that to me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would tell one of the greatest quarterbacks, and I can't say he is anymore. He was, but Brady's that guy now. I like Bradford for 1 year.
For 1 year.
And you cross your fingers and you hope that left knee that's caused him to miss, what, 3 out of 5 years?
Yes.
Is able to hold up.
It did 2 years ago.
It did 2 years
behind
ago.
An
and look
awful
what happened.
Offensive
the
line.
Worst. Denver's was the second worst line. He was line number 31. Minnesota's was the 32nd.
And there was a big gap between 31 and 32.
Probably so.
Yeah.
Probably so. So, and then, John, I think we. I've
roll
always
the
been
dice.
A Josh Rosen guy or an Allen because I'm mesmerized by his arm. What about Baker Mayfield? What kind of when you watch Deshaun Watson and you watch Russell Wilson have the success that these two guys are at the NFL level, does that change your opinion maybe from 5 years ago, Trent, as what you need to be to play that position in the on Sundays?
Back to September before Baker Mayfield became nationally Baker Mayfield.
Before he planted the flag in Columbus.
I thought that was a guy you could get in the third or fourth round, and I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
A top 10 pick, I don't love it.
Okay.
Do
you like Darnold, USC?
I do.
He didn't have much of a line in front of him either.
Right.
Not a lot of help.
I certainly like the two Southern Cal quarterbacks more than I like Allen.
Okay.
I like Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
I would.
Now,
I mean,
if Allen wouldn't have played Iowa, if you wouldn't have had that to draw back on. And he didn't play well. I mean,
no.
He didn't. But don't forget, that was his first game without all the guys that helped him, you know, get
the
on the
before.
Radar the
but
year
the
before.
The year before, he wasn't very good against Nebraska.
That's true.
He has not played well against upper-tier competition, Power 5.
Somebody's going to take him early, Trent.
They are. And I think they're going to live to regret it.
So of the four, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and
Mayfield.
Thank you. It was a missing. Mayfield. Who's the last one? Who's the last one still in the green room?
In the green room, still sit there. Well, Rosen isn't going to the green room, right?
No. What? Well,
what,
Mayfield's not going.
Mayfield's not going.
Baker Mayfield's not going.
But if they were all there,
right,
the remaining.
There.
If it was me, it'd be Allen. He's fourth on my list.
Okay.
It is Darnold, Rosen, Rosen, Darnold, depending on the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mayfield, then Allen.
Okay.
What will happen, though? It'll probably be Mayfield.
Yeah. You know what else will happen? Case Keenum's a Denver Bronco. I'm convinced of it.
Where's Teddy Bridgewater end up?
Well, and this is interesting with him because I read a piece on him this past weekend. He only wants to sign a one-year deal. Wherever he goes, he's betting on himself. Well, let me prove to you that I was the Teddy Bridgewater of going into August 2016.
Mm-hmm.
That I was starting to figure it out in this league, that I was going to be Minnesota's quarterback of the future. I'm going to come in there. I can still play. The injury's behind me now. I'm betting on myself for 1 year. But why would a team want to do that? I mean,
well, here's a team that...
Here's the answer to my question, because if he isn't that guy, it's easy to get rid of him.
Right.
But if he is, you're going to have to pay for him. Right.
You're Arizona that is searching and, well... Do we just want to go 1 year here? Mm-hmm. Or do we want to get our quarterback that we know can build around? You know who should do that? It's an AFC team. Very successful AFC team.
Okay, so hang on a second. That should sign a quarterback for 1 year.
Should sign Teddy Bridgewater.
Should sign Teddy Bridgewater. And they're a successful team. So the East, the Jets aren't successful, although they need a quarterback. Buffalo now needs a quarterback, and they were a playoff team.
They were.
Who
did they lose to?
I don't remember.
Jacksonville.
Oh. So
now they're bringing back
Bortles. They signed Bortles.
On a short deal. But you bring him in, bring Teddy in to either A, push Bortles, or just to take his job.
But would Bridgewater sign there knowing that he's got no chance in all likelihood to be the one because they just paid Bortles?
That's kind of the rub there. But if you're betting on yourself and you're Teddy Bridgewater.
You bet that you can beat the incumbent starter.
And I'm going home. I'm going back to Florida. I'm going to go there. Well, and I'm going to prove to everybody, and I'm going to have a great defense around me. I'm going to have some weapons offensively. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to bet. Or do you go into
Miami and say I can beat Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah, that's a good one. Or you go to Arizona, not a very good offensive line.
No.
Aging defense, so they still got a couple of parts. Mm-hmm. It's still not what it was a couple of years ago. And
Larry Fitzgerald's final year.
Year 4-12, and it didn't go
in that division, and look how tough that division. Look at the secondaries in those divisions.
I think that's why Jacksonville could make sense.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that, so it's just a crazy thought that had jumped into my mind. And again, I don't know Jacksonville's salary cap situation, if they even could sign him to a one-year $12 million deal, whatever it take. But just a thought, a wild thought.
We will see how it plays out. It's going to be a fun few days. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Rob Doster, more college basketball conversation. Have the doggies started?
They have. They were down 5-0 at last.
Not the start you wanted to see.
No, playing the Wildcats from Abilene Christian.
Well, we'll keep an eye on that as we continue on here. Rob Doster next, Matthew Rudy, Golf Digest senior writer, before we get out of here at 2. Trent Condon, Jimmy B, TC. Jimmy B and TC get you home 4-6 today, right here on 1700 KBGG.
Now, listen to 1700 KBGG on Alexa. Say, Alexa, enable the 1700 KBGG skill. Then to play us, say, Alexa, play 1700 KBGG. Simple enough.
Guys, Trent Condon here again for New Leaf Wellness. Warm weather is going to be here before you know it, and if you added some pounds during the winter, New Leaf Wellness can help you. Great treatment programs designed specifically for you. I'm on the GAC and MIC. It has helped me not just lose weight with my energy level, no more lulls in the afternoon. Give them a call today. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation. 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358. Let's feel better together with New Leaf Wellness Centers.
Confused by all the talk about a good night's sleep? There's a lot of new mattress companies, but they're all missing something. They're missing expertise. Introducing Tomorrow, the new mattress and sleep system from Serta Simmons Bedding. Tomorrow is great sleep, delivered right to your door. Use promo code RADIO1 for up to $250 in savings when purchasing a mattress, foundation, and sleep protector. That's tomorrowsleep.com promo code RADIO1.
Granite City Food and Brewery in Clive wants you to come on out for lunch, dinner, happy hour, or even Sunday brunch. Granite City Food and Brewery is a polished, casual restaurant with award-winning, handcrafted microbrews. Come on out for one of their two happy hours, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. till close. Where fresh beer tastes better, try Granite City's signature seasonal brews. This month's featured brew is the Burning Barn Irish Red Ale for Irish Fest all month long. Granite City showcases an open kitchen featuring chef-developed, handcrafted, made-from-scratch cuisine, including innovative signature entrees like Mediterranean chicken, broad axe, stuffed braised beef short ribs, flatbreads, and much more. At Granite City, they have it all. They're located at 12801 University in Clive. Granite City Food and Brewery is this week's sweet deal. Get $50 worth of Granite City gift certificates for only $25. There's a limited number, and they're sure to go fast. So get yours Friday morning at 9 at 1700kbgg.com.
The day for everyone to be Irish. St. Patrick's Day falls on a Saturday this year. Party right with Bennigan's and the St. Patrick's Day Party on Saturday, March 17th, starting at 6:30 p.m. in the Holiday Inn Ballroom. Live music starts at 7 with Moe's Garage, followed by Burning Sensation until 1 a.m. And room packages are available to stay the night at the Holiday Inn if you have a little too much Irish spirit. Your St. Patrick's Day Party headquarters, Bennigan's on Merlehay Road.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
You ever wonder what you look like with a full, natural head of hair? Well, find out. Mr. Executive lets you try before you buy. Get real hair again and a lease with options. Mr. Executive offers a 90-day lease for just $200. And at the end of 90 days, if you decide to keep your new hair, the initial investment goes toward the purchase price. Look, don't spend any more money on potions and lotions that don't work. Check the latest in hair replacement online at mrexecutive.com or call 274-4049. Mr. Executive, 70th and University in Windsor Heights.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. Back to Miller and Condon on 1700 KBGG.
All right, welcome back, Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG, a back and forth game at the Knapp. Drake took a lead. Abilene Christian, the Wildcats, lead the Bulldogs 14-13. 11 and a half minutes left in the opening round of the CIT. Rob Doster covers college basketball, NBC Sports, collegebasketballtalk.com, and he joins us. You locked and loaded on that Drake Abilene Christian game, Rob?
Yeah, of course. I had a 1,500-word preview up on it this morning, and you know I'm all in on the Nico Medved bandwagon.
Yeah, it's been a fun ride, though, and unfortunately, that's all we have in our state this year as far as the men go. Well, the brackets, they're out. The uncertainty, who's in, who's out, we now know. It's been kind of a big talker, the conspiracy theorists out there. Where are you on Louisville, USC, and Oklahoma State, three schools that are caught up in that FBI investigation, all three of those schools that some feel, you know, previous years would have gotten in. They're on the all-snub list this year. Is there something to a conspiracy theory there? Rasmussen was adamant, the committee chair, saying, no, there was nothing to that.
There's nothing to that, man. It's not a conspiracy theory. I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy either. But Oklahoma State had an RPI of 88. I don't think we've ever seen an at-large bid outside of the top 70. They had an RPI of 88. The selection committee has shown year after year after year that they really do value big wins, right? Louisville has no big wins. There is nothing on Louisville's resume that is relevant at all. That's why when they lost that that crazy game to Virginia, everyone was like, well, that's going to cost them the NCAA tournament, because they needed that big marquee win at the top of their resume to really have a chance to get in. They didn't get that. It was obvious, so obvious, that Louisville had no chance to get in. I don't even think Louisville fans thought that they were going to end up getting in. Oklahoma State didn't play anybody. I think that their non-conference schedule was in like the 300s. And if you look who actually did get in with that last, that large spot, Syracuse, they had a strength of schedule that was in the, I think it was like 16 or something like that. So big wins, tough schedule, good RPI, like all this like stupid stuff like that. It's what they used to justify putting Syracuse in. Now, the biggest thing, I think USC is really the only one where you can make an argument that they probably should have been in based on what the selection committee used as criteria. But even them, you know, whatever. Their best wins were Middle Tennessee State and New Mexico State. I can't really get too up in arms about that. The one that really bothers me, though, is Middle Tennessee State. And it's just, it's frustrating that year after year after year, we got to have the same conversation about whether or not mid-major teams are actually going to ever be able to get at-large bids to the NCAA tournament. Because at this point, I just don't think they will, man. So Middle doesn't have any great wins, right? I think we can all agree on that. But they went out and challenged themselves. They lost to Auburn by 6 points on a neutral floor. They lost to Miami by 3 points on a neutral floor. They lost to USC by 5 points on a neutral floor. They beat Murray State on the road, who was top 50 in KenPom. They were 12-1 in true road games. They were 5-4 against the top two quadrants, which, you know, for mid-major, that is actually pretty good. They won their conference outright, despite the fact that there were two teams in that conference that were in the top 100 above KenPom and the RPI, with Western Kentucky and Old Dominion. And then they end up losing in overtime in the first round of the conference tournament, and that's what boots them out of the league. It's just, it's frustrating, man. I don't think it's ever going to happen that mid-major teams like Middle Tennessee State will get in over some of the schlock at the bottom of the power conferences like Florida State. Like, be honest with me. Who would you rather see play in the NCAA tournament? Florida State, Syracuse, Arizona State, Oklahoma, or Middle Tennessee State? And if you don't say Middle Tennessee State, I'm hanging up the phone. So I'm kind of reading it here.
Middle Tennessee State for me.
I guess it is Middle Tennessee State, and we will we'll leave Doster there after he's written. How many words have you put together over the last 24 hours? 50,000?
All of them. Every single one of them.
It's unbelievable.
I'm pretty sure every single word that's ever been invented is currently somewhere on NBCSports.com.
You have done yeoman's work. It's great to read and a great preview on everything. At the top, Virginia, overall number one seed, and this is what you get. Either Creighton or K-State after the opening round in the round of 32 could pose some matchup problems. Creighton, if they get fired. But then either Kentucky or Arizona possibly in the Sweet 16. Oh, and then a rugged defensive team in Cincinnati there. The path for Virginia, unfair or just the way that it is?
I don't think it's entirely unfair. Honestly, I think that every team that they play is probably going to be a relatively good matchup for them. You know, I don't think that Virginia doesn't lose to bad teams. It's just not going to happen. And I can't see them losing to Kansas State. Creighton, maybe, just because Creighton's got some dudes that can make tough shots. And the way that you beat Virginia's pack line defense is you've got to make tough shots over the top. And I mean, everyone's seen Marcus Foster go for 35 points in a game before. And, you know, we know how good Kyrie Thomas can be. And then those two freshmen they got, Tyshawn Alexander and Mitchell Ballack, are both guys that can kind of get it going a little bit. So I could potentially see Creighton maybe pulling an upset, but I think they got a pretty good matchup. Even like, so Kentucky, they don't make jump shots. I get the idea that, wow, look at all this talent on Kentucky, and look, you might not have a single NBA player on Virginia, but Virginia's not going to get out-toughed or out-physical by Kentucky. You have to be disciplined offensively to be able to find a way to break through what they run, their pack line, and you also have to be disciplined defensively because Virginia will just wear you down and wear you down and wear you down. And I just don't think that a group of freshmen that have never shown any kind of consistency this season would be able to find a way to beat a team that is as disciplined as Virginia is and that can is going to force you to make jump shots the way that Virginia does. And then when it comes to Arizona, so the thing that Virginia does defensively better than anybody in college basketball is take away the post. If you watch them, they double team on the catch every single time a guy gets it on the block. And the way that Arizona runs their offense is that you either give it to DeAndre Ayton on the block or Dusan Ristic on the block. And Virginia is so good at doubling the second that they have the second that they catch the ball at the basket with the help already moving that there's really no way for you to run your offense through the post. So I don't think that is a great matchup for them. Now, to be fair, every game that Arizona is going to play before the Final Four, and maybe even in the Final Four, they are going to have the two best basketball players on the floor, DeAndre Ayton and Alonzo Trier. And that makes up for a lot. That's a big difference maker. Talent almost always wins out in March, so that's something you can bet on. I just don't think that Arizona has enough of it, and I just don't think that they match up all that well with Virginia. I swore before the tournament started and before the bracket was released that I wasn't going to take Virginia to the Final Four just because I don't think that teams that are built the way that they are built can get to the Final Four. But I also said the same thing about Cincinnati, and I don't think that you can out-Virginia, which is what Cincinnati would try to do. So I got them. I'm going to the Final Four, and I'm probably going to end up regretting that when they get beat in the second round.
What about, let's stick with that second round theme. Of the ones and two seeds, who's most likely, just the ones or the twos, not to make it out of the first weekend?
Oh, man. I wouldn't bet on any of them because I just don't love any of those matchups in the second round. I mean, if you're gonna make me bet my house on it, I would probably say give me Xavier losing to Missouri because I think Xavier is the fourth number one seed, and Missouri has Michael Porter Jr. and Michael Porter Jr. kid has a chance to go crazy. Maybe if Kansas doesn't get Udoka as a bookie back, I can see Seton Hall with some of their big old guys, Angel Delgado going in there and getting some rebounds and cleaning up the glass and making life miserable for them. The one matchup though, it actually is really intriguing to me. So Villanova, the way that you could beat them, right, is you have to be able to keep them from making threes. I think something like 43% of their offense comes from three-pointers. And when they get into that rhythm, when they're making tough shots, I mean, everybody has seen them play against Xavier and saw what they did at Xavier, what they did in the first half there. So when they get it going like that, they are nearly impossible to beat. But if you keep them from making threes and you have a dynamic playmaker at the lead guard spot that can kind of go out and score, then I think that's the way that you beat them. Alabama is top 10 in defensive three-point percentage. They are top 20 in defensive efficiency on KenPom, and they have Colin Sexton who can go out and get you 30 points on any given night.
He was phenomenal in St. Louis, no doubt about it. Thank you, Rob. We'll talk to you next Monday. We'll read you at NBCSports.com, College Basketball Talk. Great work, Rob. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep. Thanks, Rob. Good to talk to you. Before we go to break, Trent, what's going on at the Knapp Center?
We have just under 8 minutes to play as they hit the TV timeout. The Bulldogs have come back and taken the lead 19-18 over Abilene Christian.
Timmer's struggling from the beyond the arc. Have you seen that? He's 0-3.
Oh, well,
the Doggies are not hitting their threes.
Earlier today in the CollegeInsiders.com tournament, Central Michigan, led by Keno Davis, won their opening round game.
Could that be a case down the road of...
Would make sense. Don't you think you'd get a pretty good crowd? Yeah. Keno coming back to Des Moines with his Chippewas? I think it makes sense.
It does make some sense.
I think we already made the quarterfinal matchup.
I think that you've done it, Trent. If they needed help and asked you, I think that would be the answer. Well, we've got some golf questions that need answering. Mm-hmm. When we do, Matt Rudy slides on in here, Golf Digest. He's been their senior writer, long time guest, one of the original guests going all the way back to 1996. Been talking to him for a long time. We'll talk to him on the other side. What a remarkable Sunday for golf fans, for sports fans, quite frankly. That's coming up next. Trent and I till 2, 1700 KBGG.
News, talk, sports. Yeah, we got all that online at 1700kbgg.com.
Hey, honey, I'm going to the chicken coop to watch the tournament.
Whoa, wait a minute. Our team didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, my second favorite team did.
Oh, really? And who's that?
The...
Let me guess. You're in a pool again, aren't you?
A couple of them, yeah. Gotta go. Bye.
It's tournament time, baby. No need to flip channels to watch the game. The Chicken Coop has all the games from every network on every TV. The Chicken Coop. Serious about food. Serious about the tournament.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to ComScore total visits.
State Farm agents get what's important to you, especially on game day.
CP3! Ready to watch some hoops?
Did you bring
the red water bottles? Right here.
And my
rabbit's foot keychain. Chris, I'm your State Farm agent. I help protect the things that really matter to you. I'm not a good luck charm.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Okay. But I think I was sitting in the comfy seat last time.
What?
Get an agent that gets you. State Farm. Here to help life go right.
On behalf of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention Iowa chapter, thank you for your support in 2017. The Central Iowa Out of Darkness Walk at Ankeny's DMAC campus raised over $75,000. These funds allow our local volunteers to create and maintain support groups for those who have lost someone to suicide, implement education programs in colleges and high schools to prevent suicide, and advocate for new legislation to strengthen mental health care in Iowa. Please check afsp.org/Iowa. For more information on our 2018 fundraising events, including campus walks and out-of-darkness walks across Iowa. The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, Iowa Chapter. Online, afsp.org/Iowa.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down? Or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Well, it's that time of year again. Tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
Baseball. Is there another professional sport that brings out as much passion and as many memories in their fans? Kevin the Flag Guy here. We love baseball at Heartland Flags. Go Reds. We know what the flag means, and so do you. The classic pinstripes, the simple W, or the iconic throwback logos of your favorite team. Baseball is back, and it's time to fly your favorite team's flag. Shop in-store, 3719 Southwest 9th in Des Moines, or online at heartlandflags.com.
back. It's the final segment of the day, the Ken Miller Show. Trent Condon and myself with you until 2 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC get you home later on this afternoon from 4 until 6. Well, we promise we're going to get Matt Rudy, Golf Digest, in here. You can follow him on Twitter at Rudy Writer, W-R-I-T. Matt, a senior columnist for Golf Digest, been with us for many, many years talking golf, and not sure we've ever talked about the Valspar Championship before, Matt Rudy, but great to catch up with you. What a fun day watching golf yesterday afternoon, and although I haven't seen the television numbers yet, I have to assume that they will have dwarfed whatever this tournament's final round did last year, as Saturday did when those numbers came out. What a fun day, Matt.
Well, it was amazing. The Valspar has only ever been known for the tournament site that we like to go do photo shoots at because they have a great second golf course that nobody's ever on. But now it's the only thing anybody's talking about. I think it's the perfect time period ahead of the Masters where the tournament's close enough that you can kind of feel it coming. So what we saw from Tiger is real. It's not something that's 6 months away or even 2 months away. It looks like what he could do physically on the golf course is something that could translate into the biggest stage. And I think that's what everybody wants to see, whether you love him or hate him. You want to see what's going to happen on the biggest stage.
Matt, Tiger Woods. And, you know, the whole comeback story, we'd seen it so many times that I was personally kind of out. I think there were some other people that were in the same vein. But through the week, Thursday, Friday, I started to get into it. And by the weekend, I was completely all in. And then the memories, just how important is it? We know that it's very important for the PGA to have him back. But, I mean, can you measure it when you look at it and what he means to this tour?
Well, we can measure it in web traffic. On our website at golfdigest.com, the posts that get more traction than literally anything else we do are ones that are related to Tiger. I did a big piece with Hank Haney about Tiger's swing that ran this past week. And that just dominated the traffic on the site. And I think, like I was saying before, whether you root for him to succeed or you don't like him because some of the things that he's done in his personal life, or you like to root against the black hat, whatever side you fall on, whether you want the hero or you want the villain, there's something for you. There's the redemption story. I mean, he's apparently being a lot more calm and open with people around tournaments and laughing more and being a different kind of guy. And maybe that's because of fatherhood or because of what he's been through. There's a variety of different theories about that, but he seems to be more at peace with what's going on. And I think that makes him a more quote unquote real figure. So, fans who are already inclined to love him are going to love him even more. And maybe some of those ones that were hard on him are going to give him another chance because he's entered this different phase of his career. It just means that there's more and more people interested in what's going on, even just to see what all the hoopla is about. And I'm glad they're seeing somebody that's not physically diminished. We're not trying to watch a guy throw off-speed pitches and win on guile. This is apparently somebody who's doing it with 100 mile an hour fastball. He's swinging just as fast as everybody else, and the chipping and the short game stuff seems to have cleared up, at least for now. And so we're actually going to see what he's going to do at the peak of his powers, physically anyway. I mean, to say that he's 25 years old is not accurate. He's 42. But to see someone with enough clubhead speed to compete, bring what he has in terms of experience and toughness and the Tiger Woods aura, but to bring that to a major, I can't think of anyone in this business, whether you're on the typewriter side like I am, or someone reading what's going on that isn't excited about that.
Speaking of the typewriter side that you're on, Matt, there was at least some criticism of Tiger's choice of club, using the 2-iron to tee off on the 72nd hole. Obviously, needed to be down in the middle of that fairway to give himself a chance. Now, it did, although he had a significant second shot. The ball stayed up. It didn't come back, at least giving him an opportunity to make birdie. But the criticism that he should have used driver, or he should have used, a 3-metal, if you will, was that warranted, do you think? Or is Tiger, who's had command of that second iron seemingly certainly all day yesterday, and I'm assuming most of the three previous rounds, was that the right choice?
I don't think. The shot he had into the green was 185 yards, which is probably a 7-iron for him. And I don't think that's an unreasonable approach shot. And I think his expectation was, you know, I want to, because of the way that pin was on that green, there's that false front. You saw all those people, you know, they would put it up and it would roll back down to their feet.
Patrick,
I think the
green.
Key, yeah, I think the key for him was to hit, even maybe even to hit a little bit longer club into that hole, because a heavy backspin shot runs the risk of putting you in a position where you don't have a chance to make that putt. I think if you're going to criticize him, the much more accurate and realistic criticism is to say, how do you not get that putt to the hole? I mean, he left the potential tying birdie putt short, which is something I don't think we've ever seen Tiger Woods do in, you know, 25 years of playing PGA Tour golf. That's a more valid criticism, and I think it's understandable when you think that he hasn't had a putt that's mattered in 5 years. So it's going to give him something to work on, and I think his decision off the tee, I'm going to defer to Tiger Woods in terms of course strategy, because that's been probably the strongest part of his overall game package in his entire career.
You mentioned just the way that he handled himself around the course, and it's always been a strong suit. Could it even be stronger now that at this point in his career, the time away, all these things? Could we see Tiger, even one of the smartest golfers of all time, be even smarter on the course?
I think that as you get to be in your 40s, and I mean, just look at what Phil Mickelson did last week. I think as you get up there in age and you see some of the clubhead speed deteriorate, and I think Mickelson's has gone down 5 or 6 miles an hour in the last 3 or 4 years. Those are transitions that you have to make. I think if you can't be Dustin Johnson, and then maybe this isn't the right comparison for Tiger just yet, but if you can't overpower the golf course, then you have to come up with other solutions. And the solutions are better strategy. I think being calmer under adversity, and I think that's something Tiger's always been great at doing, and I think you need to have their short game in place. I know we've talked about this on this show. Mm-hmm. The two things that Tiger needs to have happen for this to even be realistic, he had to be pain-free and be able to go after shots without worrying that he was going to get hurt, and that seems to be the case. And number two, there had to be some short game there for him to rely on, because it's just giving away too much to the field if you can't, you know, hit some of those touchy little short game shots that you need to win tournaments. And at least in the short term, those two things are there. And if you have those two things, I think that's the confidence backstop you need to have. Every player is going to play poorly. Sometimes you're going to have rounds when you're not that sharp. That's just reality on the tour. But if you can manage your game and make good decisions and have a short game that can bail you out, those are the guys that win a lot of tournaments. And there's certainly plenty of reason for optimism after what we've seen in a couple tournaments this year from Tiger.
Matthew Rudy is our guest, senior writer, Golf Digest, Rudy Writer on Twitter. Matt, if you believe, as we heard during a lot during a broadcast yesterday, Paul Casey may be a little fortunate to be able to go out there and get this round done without the galleries following him around, without the pressure, just going out there and putting up a good number and having the guys behind him come attack it. So if you believe that, do you think it was good for Tiger then to have the galleries, to have the pressure of the penultimate group around him? Two-parter. Is it valid to think that Casey caught a break? And if so, was that good for Tiger that he felt the ultimate pressure yesterday in his final round?
I think Casey, relatively speaking, caught a break. I think it's hard to play with Tiger, and I think it's hard to play in the groups adjacent to Tiger, both because of what he does, watching him go through without making a lot of mistakes, not making tactical errors is stressful and frustrating if you're competing against them. And just the mechanics of thousands of people walking around and leaving right after he putts, or, getting ready to watch him, make a swing and try to herd their way into position. That's hard. It's not something that the run of the mill player who doesn't get huge galleries is used to. But I also think it's part of playing professional golf. They're not out there playing at an empty golf course with no people around and turning in a score at the end. This is, the guys and the women on the LPGA that play the best are the ones that are the least disturbed by the things that go on around them. And I've said this a lot of times to people who ask me what the difference is between the player that wins the club championship at your club and tour players. Well, to start with, the everybody hits the ball great on the driving range, whether you're at an LPGA event or a PGA Tour event. They all play wonderful golf and hit wonderful shots. The players that win tournaments are the ones that deteriorate the least when the gun goes off. When it's time to play, and when the pressure is on. And Tiger is the one who has deteriorated the least historically over his career. He doesn't deteriorate on Thursday, and he doesn't deteriorate on Sunday afternoon when it matters. And part of being able to do that is being able to block out all the nonsense that's going on around you, whether it's thousands of people in the gallery or you know what your playing partner is doing or what's happening on the scoreboard. And the only way to get some of that is to experience it, go through it, you know, get to have crowds and then not have crowds, right? You know, play with the most famous player in the world who's getting all the cheers. You know, you've got to be able to go through those experiences and fail at them a couple times and get used to it. And I think the best players, the ones with the best outlook and the best attitude, embrace that challenge and want more experience with it so that they can do better the next time.
Last thing for you, Matt. A couple of those young guns that have ascended all the way up to the, you know, in the conversation amongst best player of the world. Rory McIlroy clearly was. Jordan Spieth was making a very strong case for that. Both missed the cut. Concern about any of those two young players at this point as they get set to embark on, we're about to get to most important time of the season here. We're not too many weeks away from the Masters. What about Spieth and McIlroy? Should there be concern?
Well, I say yes and no. No, because Tiger set the bar so high in what our expectations are for great players. Tiger made some absurd hundreds of cuts in a row. He's won all these tournaments and set the expectation that you're supposed to be a threat to win every time out. But that's really not what golf has been about in 40 or 50 years. It's hard to win golf tournaments. It's hard to win majors. Players are going to go through streaks where they don't play well. I think what we're seeing from some of these players are the natural lulls that come with any career. You win some, you lose some. And that's fine. I think the bigger stressors for McIlroy and for Spieth in particular, this idea that they might have some yip issue putting. And if that's the case, it's certainly not fatal. There's plenty of players that have made some adjustments and putted in a different way. And Jordan Spieth even does that. He looks at the hole. He has a fatter grip. He uses a different grip on the putter, you know, the way he holds it. So obviously he's had some of those feelings in his hands before. To me, the question is what they do to account for that problem, if in fact that's what it is. Because if you can't putt and you feel that struggle, I mean, look what happened to Sergio for more than a decade. I mean, that was what held him back from winning majors, and he finally conquered that problem last year and won the Masters. So I think it's a temporary setback, and if they can resolve those issues, I think they're going to keep doing what they've been doing, which is win lots of important tournaments at an impressively young age.
Your alma mater, Michigan State, how far are they going in your bracket, Matt Rudy?
Well, I think they got the group of death. They got
they
Kansas
sure
and Duke. They got all the hardest teams on their side, but I think watching basketball all this year, and I went to the Big Ten tournament, which is right here, you know, near me in New York City. There isn't anybody that's so much better than anybody else that you'd be
right.
That you'd say, well, they're, you know, the Spartans are not. Put it this way: the Spartans are not going to be, you know, 7, 8, 9 point underdogs to anybody they play. They're going to be right there, either favored or slight underdogs, and they can win any game. But shoot, they could lose to Bucknell. Who knows? And that makes it fun, but it's going to be stressful.
No doubt. Matt, we'll talk to you in the weeks to come at the very latest, right before the Masters. But who knows? Tiger may have another remarkable weekend ahead of him. Great stuff. Thank you, Matt Rudy. Appreciate it as always.
You bet. See ya.
Good to talk to you. Matt Rudy, Golf Digest, senior writer. Trent, I've been talking to Matt Rudy essentially, I think, since we started. He was one of our, Kenny T, I don't know where he found him.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But we're talking to Matt Rudy for over 20 years. Great, great, great on the game of golf.
So the first time that I heard you when I moved to the market, 10 years ago, whatever it was, and I'm like, oh, this young guy. I didn't realize Matt was that old.
Yeah.
And Matt's
probably pushing 50, late 40s.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's
and a big dude, too. If you ever see him.
That's the other thing.
He's a big man.
He loves the Spartans, though, and is so good on golf.
Just terrific.
He can bring insights that you don't normally have. It's not just a guy that's watching on TV.
He's writing about it and talking to golf coaches, biggest names in the game. Did you enjoy yesterday? I mean, I know we talked about it.
Yeah, I really did. And, you know, I've told you, I was just, okay. And he's going to go.
Prove it
and
I'll buy some.
Right, right. It's just year after year after year.
He's back.
And every year we'd have the conversation about this time. How many majors does Tiger win? And I've said zero every single year, and I've been right.
Yeah, so did I, and so have I. But I'm just like,
if I had to make a bet, You put it at a half.
Yeah, I'm taking the over if that's the number.
Taking
if that's what
the
you're putting
over,
it.
Huh?
Yeah, but at this point I'm hedging because all my money's on there. No way I'd take the under before. But boy, that was fun when he made that putt on 17. You're thinking, oh my God! And then I think I don't know whether it was the 18th hole. I don't know which one of the analysts. He can't do this again, can he?
That putt on 18 was so disappointing, though.
I mean, it really was. And he slapped the head of his putter when he did it. Yeah. Oh, well, it certainly was fun. Mm-hmm. All right, so tonight, look, what are you watching, Trent, before I get into it? Really, is there anything?
No. What is, it's Monday.
Yeah.
I think I'm preparing for vacation is what I'm
doing. Well, that's probably a good idea. Yeah. You should probably do that.
I'll do, because tomorrow got first four games.
Yep.
Looking forward to that.
Yep.
So, tonight is packing night, and we'll let the wife have the remote for the evening.
Good idea for that. Well, I'm going to watch the NHL's two leading goal scorers do battle against each other.
Okay, let me guess, because, well, I'm going to guess one's Line A.
One is Line A.
Okay.
The 19-year-old, yes.
The other is Ovechkin?
Yeah.
Really?
It is.
I was right.
You are right.
If you had asked me the third.
40 apiece. Oh, it's Evgeny Malkin from Pittsburgh, who's got 39.
You could have given me a dozen guesses. I wouldn't have got close.
The 19-year-old is tied for the lead in scoring in the NHL, and he just happens to wear a Jets jersey.
So where are your Jets in terms
second
of
place.
Second place in the
behind
division?
Nashville, behind Nashville. Yeah, in the division. I think in the Pacific, the only team that has more points is Vegas. Jets are getting in.
And can you explain the playoff format to me?
Well, I can, but I'm not sure we have enough time.
Why do they make it so difficult?
It is. It's not the same. The same guy that came up with the NHL playoff format is not the same guy that redid the tournament show. So it's not quite that bad. Jeez. That was a disaster, wasn't it? A disaster. What do you and Jimmy B have today?
It's a good question. We got Chris Dobertine. He'll be stopping by. We'll get his thoughts.
So
as
you've
we do
got
with Shelby.
2 hours to fill your...
Yes, yeah, we'll be working on our brackets here today, so we'll be doing that. What else do we have coming up? Wolfgang will be stopping by, and hopefully Ben Jacobson, our final conversation with the UNI coach. And I told you I saw him last week down at Wells Fargo Arena after the Cedar Falls win in the semifinals, mm-hmm. and he was hanging out with A.J. Green.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get his thoughts. A.J. Green is going to be
I watched
really
a video on him, Trent. I guess it's one of those recruiting videos.
Yeah.
I mean, not that he needs one. He's already made his decision. Boy, he can shoot, can he?
He can.
I know that those things, they don't normally include a lot of misses.
Sure.
Right?
Yes, yeah.
But what a stroke. My God.
And he's got good size. You know, he's 6'3".
Yeah.
He was skinny, and now
that's what you
he's
said when you
out.
First saw him at the Wellers. A skinny little blonde kid.
Yes, and now that was a sophomore year. Now 2 years later, he's thick. He's a legit 6'3". Going to be a big difference maker for you and
There's no question. Jimmy B and TC get you home today from 4 until 6. Trent and I are back tomorrow at noon. We hope you can join us. If you can't, if you miss part of the show, you can always listen to the podcast. They're up at KenMillerShow.com. For Trent, Ken Miller, thank you for listening to 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
If you're a small business owner, you know how important it is to keep good records. We can help. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax reporting, as well as income taxes. Everything you need to be successful in running your business. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. You do what you do best and let us do the rest. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun here at Camp Sunnyside.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
When you hear Washer Systems of Iowa, you think about pressure washers. The Washer Systems of Iowa does so much more. Industrial floor care equipment, waste oil heaters, water heaters, accessories and parts, washers, used equipment, along with repair, preventative maintenance, and operator training. Selling and servicing commercial cleanup equipment for 29 years, Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
Carrie Ann's Food Pantry serves the residents of Southeast Polk School District as well as all of Bondurant and Pleasant Hill. If you live in this area or use the school system and find yourself in need of additional food at this time, come in Mondays or Wednesdays between 3 and 6 or on Tuesday, Thursday, or Friday between 11 and 1. You will need to bring in an ID for each member of your family and a piece of mail postmarked and delivered to you for each adult over 18 in order to register. There are no income requirements, no checking of employment, nor need to be signed up for any government or church charity program. We are here to help. If you need food, we have it for you. Caring Hands has been serving the Southeast Polk area for more than 20 years and is funded by charitable contributions from those of us in the community. Check out their website at caringhandsiowa.org.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Cap is back. Flag Guy here. We're proud to sponsor the foremost expert on all things Chicago, Dave Kaplan, weekly here on the Ken Miller Show. While Cap has the behind the scenes on your favorite Chicago sports team, we have the flags, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Sox, Cubs. We've got them all. Northwestern too. I guess they kind of count. Check out our Chicago flags and a whole lot more online at heartlandflags.com. And peep the retail store too. 3719 Southwest 9th, Des Moines.
Greater Des Moines Habitat for Humanity's new ReStore is now open in Urbandale. Donations of home improvement items to ReStore are sold to the public to support Habitat's mission of building homes, communities, and hope. So donate, shop, and volunteer at your nearest ReStore on East Euclid or in Urbandale.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.